Bloomberg, the first word with Ken Pruitt.
Our guest is Julian Callow, Chief International Economist at Barclays in London. Julian, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Ken.
Well, latest from Europe is the economy in Italy shrank for the fourth quarter in a row. This is for the second quarter of this year as the debt crisis continues. Does this provide even more incentive to get some sort of solution?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the issue you've got is that unemployment is rising. It was 11.2% in both May and June for the Eurozone. That really, if you trace it back, is the highest since the 1930s here. And we all have to recognize that square on. Unemployment is seriously high in Europe. It's especially high in southern Europe. It's on a rising trend. Until we start to see unemployment coming down, we cannot really rest easy about the European outlook, because of course the unemployment has the potential to create a more significant political backlash here. And Europe is, I think, going in the right direction. It is embarking upon some degree of additional labor market reforms. It's doing a lot of fiscal adjustment here. This year, the Eurozone budget balance will probably be a deficit of less than 3% of GDP compared with the United States at 8% of GDP. So Europe's done quite a lot of heavy lifting here. But I am concerned about this ongoing intractable rise that we're seeing in the unemployment rate. And I think it is going to create a lot of additional political and social tensions. And that's why I think you have this degree of urgency coming from the European Central Bank, in fact, coming from the Italian Prime Minister. It's noteworthy that Messrs. Draghi and Monti are both involved in leading this process to really engage in a significant program of action, which will lead to easier monetary conditions, less tensions in the financial markets, and hopefully will provide a way forward that would enable the European economy to start recovering, which in turn should start over time to generate some much-needed jobs.
What sort of labor market reforms is Mario Monti pursuing?
Well, he's really looking at ways to improve workplace productivity and let firms make their own decisions more in terms of how they bargain with trade unions. You see, what you've got prevailing the system in Spain and Italy, I would say, is first of all, you have the outsider-insider model, which is that you have the outsiders, people on temporary contracts who companies tend to use, and then you have the insiders on permanent contracts who are very expensive to hire and fire. And that model really needs to be very much revised. It's completely unsuitable for the 21st century, where we have such powerful global competition. But at the same time, there is a lot of trade union opposition to making reforms. There are powerful vested interests in the parliaments. And so the actual degree of progress is really quite limited. But the kind of measures that governments in both Spain and Italy are looking at doing is to cut redundancy costs, to make it a little bit easier for companies to lay off workers here without going through what is really quite an onerous process of judicial review, with labor courts being involved in that process. And also, as I say, to enable companies to be able to make agreements at the local level rather than have to stick with industry-wide agreements, which, by the way, can actually be very limiting when it comes to paying overtime and adjusting labor inputs in line with orders and production. So there's an awful lot that needs to be done. We're making some degree of progress there, but frankly, it's not really going far enough. And there does need to be a lot more if Europe is to become a more competitive industrial producer on the global stage.
Our guest is Julian Callow, Chief International Economist at Barclays in London. Julian, tell us, you mentioned labor courts in Italy. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Okay, well, the fact is that if a company wants to make a significant number of workers redundant, then it actually has to go through a judicial process, and this can be reviewed by labor courts. So it obviously means a time-consuming process. It means that it's costly, and it creates uncertainty, really. And the courts tend not so much to side traditionally with the interests of the owners of the companies, really. So this makes firing of permanent workers much more difficult. It's a very different system to what I think you've got prevailing in the United States. And of course, the problem is that if you create that kind of safety net for workers, make it much harder and costlier to actually get rid of workers if production is weak or if the company isn't performing well, then it actually deters people from actually taking on new workers. That's the big problem. And it deters direct inward investment. And that's really the root of a lot of the problems that we've been seeing in Europe as a whole, and which are particularly endemic there, I would say, with respect to Southern Europe. And that then comes through when these economies are having to adjust to competition from China, globalization, and also in the case of Spain, they're having to adjust because the construction sector has had a much bigger meltdown than really you've seen, if I may say, in the United States. And it's just very hard to create new jobs, so unemployment then rises very rapidly.
Well, this is the fourth recession in Italy in about a decade. The prime minister is pushing through $25 billion in austerity measures, but can you have austerity and growth at the same time?
You can't really, unless you're seeing your exports performing very well. The problem that all these countries have got is you have fiscal austerity, very substantial fiscal tightening going on in many countries simultaneously, and these countries trade with each other in Spain, in Italy, in Portugal, in Greece, in Britain, in Ireland, in France, and this creates a very weak area, a very weak zone for exports, for demand, and that makes it really, I think, impossible to generate growth when you are having the degree of fiscal consolidation, of fiscal austerity that you're seeing in these countries, which generally is running at between 1 and 2% of GDP for this year.
Well, in the meantime, from your vantage point there in London, how do things look here in the U.S.?
The U.S. still looks relatively soft, but at least it's growing, and certainly the Fed seems very vigilant here in terms of wanting to see at least a 2% growth rate going further forward. So we remain relatively optimistic that the U.S. consumption will tend to pick up in the second half of the year, helped by the fact that you have been seeing weaker energy prices coming through, and that should help consumer confidence as well. The labor market data don't look too bad to us. I think in Europe there's going to be a lot of interest clearly coming through in the outturn of the U.S. election, and of course the fiscal cliff issue is out there. There is concern that there will be a very significant degree of fiscal austerity coming through in the United States next year, which seems to be inevitable because there are still a lot of budget deficit issues that need to be addressed. So from the European perspective, we look at America and we see an economy that's showing some modest growth right now and is unlikely really to speed up very dramatically over the next few quarters, given that degree of fiscal headwind that does look likely to be in the pipeline.
Julian Callow, Chief International Economist at Barclays in London.
You can listen to Bloomberg The First Word weekday mornings at 5 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012 Bloomberg LP.